Well, good morning, church. I am so excited to be with you this morning. I'm excited about the many ways that God is at work in this place, in our community, in our world. He's not dead. Amen? Amen. He's alive. Would you please turn this morning to Psalm chapter 34? We're continuing our series in worship. Last week was worship as expression. We had some fun with that. And then this week is worship as example. And so please follow along while I read Psalm 34 in its entirety this morning. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Pray with me. Father, when it comes to our own worship, God, we want to be living examples of who you are. God, having lives which have been impacted, influenced, changed by you. God, Israel was meant to be a blessing to the nations, a light of your love, your good news. And Father, I pray this morning that as we dive into this concept of worship as an example of our lives, God, I pray that you would speak to us using the truth of your word. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. To start this morning, I want you to think back to a time. And if it helps to close your eyes, you can do that. But think back to a time when the Lord showed up in your life, where he provided you some sort of answer or deliverance or rescue. Okay? So take a moment. I want us to take a moment. All right? Remember that time where you've had an experience of the Lord, where he became real to you. You encountered him in some way. All right? And as you do that, perhaps it's a time where God has saved you from yourself, right? You were going down a certain path and the Lord interjected. In my life, I spent the last 3 years of my college experience walking away from the Lord, right? Rejecting him, making decisions in my life where it's like, God, I don't want you as much as I want a relationship. I want my own desires. You're second to that. And it was a slow fade year after year after year until the Lord came and he powerfully injected himself back into my life because I was gone. In fact, I was on a trajectory for ministry during that time too, right? But I got to the point in my life where I said out loud, God, I do not care what you think. And the Lord, he rescued me from myself. The year 2005 was a series of events that just proved to me that the Lord not only loved me, but he pursued me, and he came after me, and he would not abandon me. He was faithful to me. That's something that I remember. I will never forget that experience with God. But perhaps it's more than just saving you from yourself. Perhaps you're in a situation where you need God to show up in powerful ways and save you from something. Right? I was on staff with Crew at the Interfaith Chapel at the U of R, and surrounded by a bunch of chaplains from different faiths. Chaplains were hostile to the fact that I was there because I was there as an evangelical Christian. And as an evangelical Christian, my message was, Jesus saves. Jesus is the only way to salvation. And they didn't like that. And I remember like having conversations, but there was one meeting in particular, all the chaplains gathered around the table and just accosting is maybe too strong a word, but we were having a discussion about me. Right? And they were attacking my beliefs, and they were attacking my education. And they were attacking biblical authority and my place at the U of R. And on that came my legitimacy. Right? And I knew this was coming. It didn't blindside me. And so I had been praying, God, I need you in this. I need you to show up. I need you to help me in this situation. And you know what? As we had that discussion, the power of the Lord was there. Right? Where even though they might have disagreed with me, no one could touch me. God was defending me. He was giving me words to say. He was giving me love for the people around me. And I walked out of that place still able to minister on that campus. The Lord had fought for me. These are experiences in my own mind that I grab onto as I think of the Lord showing up, my experience with him in my life. There are many more, right? Those are just two examples. Right, but when the Lord shows up in times of deliverance, it changes our song. Right? It gives us this new understanding. We enter this new place of faith. It's a new song of orientation. Right? I was here with the Lord. I was here. This is how I knew him. But then something happened. It scared me, it tested me, it sent me into the pit. I was unaware, I didn't know, but God showed up in powerful ways in that moment, and now I have this grand new understanding of who he is, his power, what he's able to do. I know that now. Something awesome just happened, and I sing because of it. We talked last week about worship as expression. And there are many ways that we can express our worship to the Lord, speaking and shouting and singing and bowing down and standing and dancing, clapping and lifting our hands and using our hands as instruments of his praise. And when God shows up in a tangible way in your life, when I walked out of the Interfaith Chapel that morning, my soul wanted to do something. It was welling up inside me. I had this new understanding. My life wanted to do something. There was a new song of praise on my lips. That's what this psalm is. It's that new song of praise. And I need to point this out before we continue. In the NIV, they've done something Baptist-like, which is unfair. But they've actually taken some of the emotion out of this text. All right? Now, NIV is a great translation, right? There are good reasons why they did that or whatever. But the ESV, it actually does a good job of preserving the emotion, right? In the NIV, verses 3, 8, and 9, if you read it, they read like this. They say, glorify the Lord with me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Fear the Lord, you holy people. But in the Hebrew, the tense that is used in these verbs, it's an emotional tense. Right? It's a tense used when something is bubbling up in your spirit and it's got to get out. Right? There's a deep passion and emotion behind what you're about to say, and the ESV preserves that with this little word, oh. Right? Where David has been so moved in his understanding of God that he is welling up to this point of saying, oh! Oh! Right? There's the scene. Have you guys seen the Croods movie? Who's seen the Croods movie? Right? Not the new one. I haven't seen the new one. It's the original one, right? Where Grug, the father, the father of a Neanderthal family, right? And he has never had an original idea in his whole life. His whole life has been defined by that which he knows, right? And he is unable to have an idea, an original idea. And so at the end of the movie, he is actually in trouble. And he needs to be innovative. He needs to have this new idea. And so he's sitting there and he's like, ah! He's like trying to get his brain to like, ah, right? And he's like slapping himself and he goes and he's about to hit himself in the head with a rock. Where all of a sudden his whole life is reoriented, right? To the point where he's moved so much that he's like, I have an idea, right? Reorientation, a new experience, right? This is David in this song, right? Where his understanding of the Lord, he says, oh, glorify with me. Oh, taste and see the Lord, he is good. Oh, fear the Lord, people. In him, you lack nothing. I know this now. Right? And when you understand this new orientation and the emotion that comes with it, it actually helps us bring the rest of this psalm into focus, right? Where he begins by saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. When I sought the Lord, he answered me. The Lord, he actually encamps around those who fear him. He delivers them. The eyes of the Lord, they're on the righteous. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. I know this now because I've experienced it. And let me tell you, when you encounter the Lord like this, you can't help but share that with other people. Right? Where God becomes so real to you, your life becomes worship as example. And in Psalm 34, we see three ways that the Christian worships through their example to others. Three natural ways that a life which has been impacted this way by the Lord pours forth worship. The first is in its calling out. All right? The Christian life worships God as it summons others to experience the Lord as we have. As we have. All right, I want you to look at David's example. This psalm is anchored in a concrete moment in time. The subscript here, it's not just some ethereal thing or whatever. No, it's at this moment when I wrote the psalm, at this very moment, I encountered the Lord. I understood. And if you're going to call people to a knowledge of the Lord, then you have to know about what you are calling them to. We can't just simply spiritualize God's truth, right? Because if we do that, it doesn't land anywhere, right? That's why each of our testimonies, our stories, our experiences of where God has shown up, that's why I had you think about that. Where has God shown up in your life? That testimony is so important because that is our experience, right? And that experience is powerful. Right? Let me give you an example. Sometimes we say, you know, the Lord wants to give you life. Right? And that's true. He does. God wants to give you life. Right? But we have to ask then, well, what kind of life are you talking about? What kind of life does God want to give you? Have you ever experienced this kind of life that you're talking to me about? And if the answer is no, well, then it's, what exactly are you calling me to? Right? And the answer is nothing, just some idea. All right, but here David is saying, I know of that which I speak. It was at this moment in time, in this very specific situation, where I experienced the Lord. I trusted him. I believed. I prayed. I pressed into him. I sought him. And you know what? He came through for me. Now, he answered my prayer. He delivered me. He saved me out of my trouble. Right? And then the summoning, it doesn't stop there, because then David's message is, and he wants to do the same for you too. What an exciting thing. Right? Summoning, beckoning, calling people. You can experience God in these same ways. You can know him as I now do. Listen, look at some of this language that he uses in verse 2, right? He talks about the humble. He calls for all who are humble before God. And in verse 4, he identifies with those who are fearful. Are you afraid of something? Let me tell you this truth about God. In verse 6, he identifies with those who are poor, who lack something, who are in need, and he wants to share with them the truth about who God is and how God desires to meet them where they are and give them all of his sufficiency. And you know what? This invitation also extends to you today. No matter where you are in life, no matter what the hand is that you have been dealt, God desires to meet you in that place, for you to experience him in real, tangible ways. He will hear your cry to him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I know, because God has met me. I have experienced God's goodness. He has been my sufficiency in times of need. He has been my strength in times of weakness. And I've had many. Would you put your faith in Jesus Christ today? He wants to save you from your sin. He wants to deliver you from your trouble according to his good purposes for you. No matter where you are, his promise to you is that you would have no lack in him, because he is sustainer. He is protector. He is provider. He is healer. He is deliverer. And he is good. Now, this doesn't mean that you won't go through trouble, but it means that when you do, God will keep you in his care. All right, now let me land this for us. Because what this doesn't look like in real life is the meal bell at Uriman. Now, Uriman is our senior high retreat. Every year, our senior hires will take a retreat to Camp Three Springs in Pennsylvania. And at that place, they have this big iron bell, okay? And somebody at mealtime will stand and ring this bell. Ding, 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 ding. And it's loud enough so wherever you are on campus, you can hear the bell. And when you hear that bell, you come running, okay? That's not what it looks like in real life, okay? I don't stand on my street and ring a bell and say, hey, I need poor people here. Hey, are you afraid? Come here, I want to tell you something. That's not what this means, okay? All right, what summoning looks like is found in your personal interactions with people, right? That's why Becky and I have chosen to care for our neighbors and invest on a personal, relational level in the ways that we have, because there's so much about building those relationships with those around us. It's in those conversations that we have with people when we know them that and they open themselves to us that we see a person's fear and poverty and humility. Those things are revealed within those conversations, and then you can call people to a knowledge of the Lord in that. This is how God wants to meet you. This is what he desires to do with your fear and your anxiety. I want to let you know, church, you are loved. You are cared for. I know that because God has done the same things for me. You are not without hope. We have an awesome, awesome Redeemer. The Christian life worships God as it summons others to experience the Lord, as we have secondly. The Christian life worships God as it instructs others. As it instructs others. Look at the invitation found in verse 11. David says, "Come. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." He's saying, "Come. Come sit with me for a while. Come get to know who I am. Let me teach you. Let me share with you what I know, what I've experienced, what I've learned as I strive to follow the Lord." It's instruction. Right? And if you worship by being example, and if your example is found in your instruction, then I just have to ask, what are you teaching? When people look at who you are and the life that you live, what do they see? When they watch you, what's your example? Do they see someone who fears the Lord, who trusts Him, who has been shaped by Him, who strives with all of life to follow after Him? Is that what they see? Do they see someone who has tasted and seen that the Lord is good, whose life has been shifted by Him? Who do your neighbors see? Who do your coworkers see? Your employees, maybe your employer. Who do your kids see? Who does your spouse see? Right. Well, I was a while back, I was talking with a friend. He just moved into a neighborhood, and he had, you know, started meeting his neighbors, and just asked him how it was going. And he said this. He said, "There's only one person, one family on my street that's a Christian that goes to church. And let me tell you, they are the least friendly people on the street." Right? And if that was hard to hear, but then he said this, "And I'm pretty sure they go to PCC." Okay, now that's not a condemnation. That's just a conversation that I had. Right? Guys, listen, church, don't mishear me. All right? All eyes up here for a second. I'm not talking about your actions. Okay? Your actions are a byproduct of who you are. What I'm talking about this morning is your worship. Is your worship. Christians have gotten into trouble simply by trying to curb the actions of an unredeemed life. Right? Just act this way. Right? This is how a good Christian should act. But all that has led to is bitterness and hypocrisy. Right? Guys, listen, you will teach what you know. What you know. You don't have to act neighborly because you will be neighborly. You don't have to act loving because you will be loving. Right? You will change when God moves you to a new orientation, and you will then teach, instruct in what you know. You say, "Chris, I need more." Okay, read Ezekiel chapter 36. All right? I love the second half of Ezekiel chapter 36 because all throughout Ezekiel 36, it's this, God is speaking and He's using these statements of, "I will and then you will." All right, listen to what He says. "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and keep my laws." And then He says, "Then you will." Right? He lays out all of the things that God's people, His people, will do as a result of Him moving. So what are you teaching others by your example? Right? Is it an act of worship that pleases the Lord? Have you allowed him to move you? The Christian life worships God as it summons others to experience the Lord as we have. The Christian life worships God as it instructs others. How are you instructing others? Finally, the Christian life worships God as it encourages others. Now, I wouldn't say this, but when I was with Crew, I was talking to a pastor, and he kept using this phrase that God's purpose in his life was to speak faith into other people. Now, regardless of what you think about that theology, what he meant was that God's call in his life was to be a person who strengthened those around him, who spoke encouragement to those around him in such a way that by it, their own faith was strengthened. Okay? And we see that type of language in our text this morning in Psalm 34. Right? You can actually use most of what is said in Psalm 34 to be an incredible encouragement to someone else. It says things like this: in God, deliverance is sure. Right? In God, the heart is rich. In God, life is secure. Right? The moment of his rescue is remembered, and the gods of this age are powerless. God releases those who are his to new life. These are the promises, the truths that we find in God's word. It's not just freedom from. God does that. He liberates. But it's also freedom for. Right? World building, impact, testimony, the shaping and the reorientation of the life around us. God's kingdom come. Right? But many of us don't live in that space. Many of us need to hear that and be encouraged by those words. Right? Many people, both inside and outside the church, are depressed and oppressed and repressed. Right? And it's with the truth and the knowledge of God that we can bring this encouragement and hope. Right? Because God does do all the things proclaimed in this passage. He does them. Do we believe it? Have we seen it? And do we worship him in the knowledge of it? The Christian life worships God as it summons others to experience the Lord as we have. The Christian life worships God as it instructs others. The Christian life worships God as it encourages others.